Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, blessed to be here as always. And we have an extraordinary entrepreneur, the CEO at Atom Beam Technologies, Charles Yeomans. Welcome to the Playbook.
Thanks, David. I appreciate you having me.
Well, it's a blessing to have someone that has seasoned experience. I'm tired of having 19-year-old life coaches on the Playbook. Someone with over three decades of executive leadership.
Wait a minute. You assume I'm over 19?
Yeah, sorry. But you've probably done business longer than most of those people that have been alive.
Been alive. Your experience. Absolutely.
And so you paid a lot of dummy tax like I have, and especially with your experience in investment banking, technology, equity, and mergers and acquisitions, you've created a great qualifier to select the best opportunities. What are some of the things that you see in Atom Beam as it leverages advanced machine learning and AI that delivers these groundbreaking solutions in especially security and connectivity? What were some of the things that you saw at the forefront of this true data revolution?
So, it comes down to this, that there's two real key aspects. One is, but it really comes down to the same thing. What about what is happening with all this data that's getting generated, mainly at the edge? All this gets generated, and there's two aspects. In order to be useful, it has to move, usually. And to move it, you need a pipe. And the pipe, that is the networks that move the machine-generated data, a sensor on the edge or a radar or whatever, has to move it from here to there and to be used by whatever it is that needs it. But the amount of data you can actually move out of what gets generated is around 5% of it. In many cases, it's a lot less. It may be 1% of it. Like a car, a connected car, generates maybe 25 gigabytes an hour. How much can actually move over the cellular networks that are with the amount of allocation? About 1%. So you say, do you need all of it? No, but I need a lot more than 1%. And so we have a solution for that, which we call NERPAC. And what it does is it, on a streaming basis, it smashes down the size of that data. And it's not compression. It does a different thing. It's substituting code words that represent patterns in it, in the file. So these little tiny files get translated into code words, sent over in instantaneously to wherever it's going, which means that, in effect, with just software, we can quadruple the amount of data that goes from here to there. And so compare that to using hardware upgrades to do the same thing. It's a tiny, tiny fraction of the cost, and it's super efficient. And it happens really light, really fast. It'll work in a little tiny gadget. It's an incredible technology. So that's the one thing that says, okay, how do we get data from here to there? Well, that's how you can do a lot more of it. Instead of throwing away 95% of it, you're throwing away 80%.
And it's a coding and decoding that occurs in a very efficient, secure, and connected way. The value of the additional data. So flippantly, we said, oh, well, you get 1% of the data from an automobile, and we could use a lot more of it. What are some of the things, just quantitatively, by using that data, that not only beyond the security and efficiency and connectivity, there has to be a quantitative value to that data? What are some of the things that they could be using, whether in the medical field, military? You mentioned automobiles. Where are some of the verticals that data is extremely valuable in a quantitative way?
Right. So let's take defense applications, because we've done a lot of that. We have a Space Force contract right now we're doing that is focused on the data link that is used by practically everything in the U.S. and allied militaries. It's called Link 16. Link 16 is 1980s tech. It gets maybe in real life about 25, 30 kbps. Kbps, that's what you get with dial-up. You know, you've got mail stuff. Right. And so
from the old 9600 baud modems.
Exactly. And so you're flying along in your F-35 generating like gigabits, and you can send through a teeny little straw. And the problem you got is I need to be able to send situation reports. I need to let everybody know what's going. Here's the threat. Here's what I'm doing and all that stuff. You just can't do that through this little tiny straw. And so we can amplify that send by at least 4 times, and sometimes we can get 5, 6 times more data through a given pipe. And that also, if you're driving that F-35 and you get jammed, that's what happens a lot in hostile situations. You get jammed, and now you're just getting a little bit through. If it's already a really, really little bit, and now it's even smaller, you're really up a creek. How do you deal with that? That's what we can deal with. That's how we can amplify, change that experience in a warfighter's life. We can make that guy able to, or female, make that person able to be far more effective, to know the situation and have other people say, we got to vector some more fighters out to that place. That's a heavy threat environment, whatever.
And beyond the transferring of data through a tiny straw, it seems as if there is a storage crisis, and this seems to alleviate the storage issue as well. Even if you can get the data transferred, it's hard to find houses to store this data. Does the decoding and encoding help to facilitate a more efficient manner for storage?
Absolutely, because what you can do, because it's already shrunk, you can send it to wherever the destination is. Say it's a data center, and it's already small. You don't have to compress it. And the cool thing about the way we do it with NERPAC is, like, if you want to use a compressed file, you don't know what's in it except there's a little tag, I call a metadata tag, that's stuck on it that says this is what's in here. But with the way we do it, with these code words, this data as code words, allows a server to, if it's got the code book that was used to encode all that, it can look at a whole giant data lake, full, like not just terabytes, petabytes of information, and be able to randomly access it, search it, retrieve it, just like it was in its original form. The amount of efficiency that could give an organization is gigantic, because the reason why Databricks and Snowflake and those guys are worth so much is because they have a way of using the metadata tags to figure things out and so forth. But it's an artificiality. What we can do is look at the actual contents of the file, not just a tag. That's a huge impact in terms of what you'd actually do in the real world.
And a credible entrepreneur is hard to find these days. There's a lot of people that have a lot of fluff and a lot of promotional aspects to them as entrepreneurs. We were joking earlier about being a 19-year-old life coach and you being older than 19, but it's far more than that. You're a legitimate, credible investment banker serving, and thank you very much for the service to our U.S. Navy as an intelligence officer. Stanford MBA's not too bad either, even though they rejected me twice.
Well, they can't always.
Now I know why. It's guys like you that got me. But with all of the extensive credibility and background that you've had, you chose crowdfunding in order mm-hmm. to help facilitate what we're doing. And, you know, ever since the Jobs Act, it has evolved with its own credibility. Give me an idea what aspects of crowdfunding attracted you to what you're doing, and how we can participate to not only back Adam Beam, but also you as a seasoned entrepreneur.
Right. Well, thanks. Yeah. I mean, I needed to do crowdfunding because I needed a way of getting the initial seed money. I had some from angels, but I needed more. And, you know, a friend of mine who's a PE guy, a private equity guy, said, you should check out crowdfunding. I go, what? You know, and then I checked it out, and boom, we raised $2.5 million on our first try. And I said, okay, this is not so bad. And we did that. And then we did another one, and we did another one, and we did another one. And every time they get more popular and oversubscribed. We've done 3 in a row now. They're oversubscribed. And so, and by a lot in some cases, like by 2x. And the reason why, and why I really like crowdfunding is I like the idea. All right, we're a really hot startup. We haven't talked about the AI we have, but it is truly game-changing. Along with NERPAC, and we're talking about something that can, you know, we think it's going to get translated into being this really hot deal that's out there. But my background is, as you pointed out, I was an investment banker, institutional capital, talking to people with big pools of capital, billions of dollars in many cases, that they need to invest. And you work with them, they put in money, blah, blah, blah. It's a very different connection, very different discussion. I like the idea of talking to, you know, regular Main Street people who can put in $1,000 and it turns in, potentially could turn into $100,000. That's what gets me excited. And, you know, I think that people see that and people understand what we're doing. I mean, yeah, there's widely varying levels of sophistication. We have people in there who can barely operate a cell phone. And we have other people who are heavy-duty AI software developers. I mean, we've got the gamut. And the cool thing is that they all have a different perspective. Even the guy who could barely operate his cell phone may be a really, really good whatever, you know, like a grocer or somebody who is very savvy about real estate or something. Those, everybody brings something else to the table. And it's really cool. I get a lot of interaction with investors, and it's fun for me. I mean, I admit there's an aspect of this that I think is really, really cool. Just dealing with regular people. Yeah, I've dealt with like the guys managing big pools, but this is different. This is cool.
Yeah, we feel the same way, Roy Kataya, Jason Mueller, and myself, all who have dealt in the same pools as you have. And to be able to give opportunity to everyone was the reason and purpose behind GoFund Yourself, which you blew everybody away, our titans and our guest hosts. And, you know, leveraging, as we finish up, AI, to me, obviously, if you're able to deliver this data with the advancements in machine learning and being able to apply it to groundbreaking solutions, just gives it a whole nother amplified value of where AI is going and how what you do currently obviously creates even greater opportunity and exponentially creates even more quantitative value. As you said, it's so nice that today anyone with their expertise, you know, including our vets that just want to support someone who has been through what they're through in protecting our country and giving back to our country in the highest level, to be able to support another veteran in a truly, you know, world-changing solution. And, you know, that's pretty powerful. And Start Engine, you know, obviously they're friends of ours as well. In this offering, if you go to startengine.com /Adam Beam, you can participate, everyone. And you don't have to be a multi-millionaire to participate and get a great return on your investment. I'm always looking for the right entrepreneur with the right solution. And if you align it with what's doing well, what's stable, and you think is doing well in the future, I think you'll find that Adam Beam is positioned in a great place. Any last words or anything that you wish I would have asked or would like our audience to know?
Yeah, sure. So thank you, David. I appreciate that. Yeah, we are doing right now a raise. Well, we aren't actually actively raising yet. We will be soon. We're in a, it's called testing the waters phase, you know, getting indications of interest from investors. That will roll it, we think, into a raise probably next month in January. So when this all happens, I think people are going to see some big time fireworks that are going to be happening. We have a lot of people working with us, you know, on getting ready to run pilots, signing contracts, and the activity is a lot. And the other thing is on this new AI we're working on that is an incredible potential. And again, it's not an out, it's not out, unlike NERPAC, but it has potential to learn. It will be super small and tight and able to do things that no other AI can do. And it can talk, they can federate, they can talk to each other and learn things from each other, other instances of what we call the persistent cognitive machine. So not a product yet, but extremely big potential. So I'd say three things. One, yes, we're getting ready to do a raise. Come to the Start Engine site, take a look. Two, we have in the works some really very exciting opportunities that we think are going to translate into some revenue that is going to really start to take off. 2026, big year for us. Three, our generative AI is world changing. It's going to change how everything works. You don't even need a data center. It'll work on a freaking laptop. So stand by and really, you have no idea. I'm the only touch on the instrument. So, but that's what to think about when you think of Adam B.
I love it. You're either humble or you're about to be. And I'd invest in the entrepreneur, even if this was just an idea, but it's far past an idea. There's been millions of dollars invested and creating these extraordinary opportunities. Charles Yeomans, thank you so much. CEO of Adam Beam. Check them out at Start Engine. It's an amazing opportunity for everyone. The star of Go Fund Yourself. You can see why we created the show to elevate the awareness to great entrepreneurs and great businesses like Charles and Adam Beam. Thanks again, my friend. I look forward to seeing you and the company rising as usual in 2026. We look forward to supporting you however we can. Thank you for joining me. This is David Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.